Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done this, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children, and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded to me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him weeping, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them, and afterward his brothers talked with him." The second reading is from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 38, and it's on page 1601 in your pew Bible. Love for enemies. "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful, judging others. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with that measure you use, it will be measured to you." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
You're welcome,
sir. Shall we pray together?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for how you provide for us, and we thank you for the opportunity to come to worship together and to learn your will. Bless us this morning in all that we do. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
You know, I'm often pretty uncomfortable when somebody comes up and they tell me that they love me and then commence to scold me. Well, you know, they come up and they say, they'll say, "Joe, you're a dirty, rotten, no good, ignorant so-and-so," you know, and then they go on, and then they proclaim their godly love for me. You know, they'll say, but still, you know, God still loves you, and I still love you. Well, I'd just soon be despised. I don't know about you, but as to have to listen to that kind of thing. But then there are times, I think about this, when someone occasionally I have a difficult time loving. You know, it's one of the people you despise and you just assume they drop off the face of the earth, it wouldn't break your heart. And I think about how I should express my Christian love to them, and I'm thinking, well, they'd probably be saying the same thing. You know, I was doing some research on this, and I remembered an old saying Will Rogers had, you know, he never met a man he didn't like. Well, he didn't meet all the people I've met. You know, there's some people I just plain despise. How about you? I think we've all had it, and that's in our gospel lesson today. I think that's one of the toughest things that Jesus tells us in this learning how to love your enemies. I mean, he tells us at the end, pretty much he's given that sermon on the plane, you know, that we talked about last week. You know, it's that plain talk that he's teaching us and telling us that we need to love our enemies. But at the real core of it, if we think about all the other religions, it sets us apart from their perspectives. Because God teaches us, no matter how hard it is, we need to find a way to love our enemies. So as I thought about this, and I got to thinking about our Old Testament reading about Joseph. And I really like the story of Joseph. I mean, there's lots of reasons I like it. Maybe because we had the same name. That's not a real good reason to love the story, though, is it? But I thought about this, and I'm thinking, okay, so maybe it's because I'm familiar with Joseph's upbringing. I mean, when I was brought up, I was raised with five brothers. Well, I mean, we were all just, each one of us, I think there was a two-year separation between all five of us, maybe three in one case or so. But anyway, when I was thinking about that, I'm thinking about, well, maybe that's a similarity. And of course, being raised in a little house with five other brothers, there's lots of teasing and fighting that goes on. You know, there's way too much testosterone in one house when there's that many boys there. And the fact that it, you know, they all believed that my father loved me best. And I always believed that was just because I was the only one who did the least amount of complaining when it came to doing something that was painful. But at any rate, when I thought about this, and I'm thinking about the story of Joseph. Now, Joseph, he had 11 brothers and one sister. I can't imagine that would be just unbelievable. 11 brothers, one sister. Think about this. So he was actually the 11th son of Jacob, who we know and is referred to in Scripture sometimes as Israel was his name. God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And he was married to Rachel, and Rachel had a hard time. So actually, Joseph was her firstborn. But yet he was Jacob's 11th son. Now there is some serious testosterone going on there. But anyway, when I thought about this, and I got thinking about how similar our families were, it's really started to hit home why I love this story, because it tells about the conflicts that happen when you're being raised. And talks about God's love and forgiveness. So I really love the end of the story. So how many of you know the whole story of Joseph? When's the last time you read it? It's in Genesis. If you start chapter 37, I know Jan's been reading the Bible through. It goes from chapter 37 into, I think, Genesis 50 before the story really ends. So let me do a short recap. So let's see. I wrote something down here. So Joseph, he's the favored one. Got all these brothers. And can you imagine his older brother saying, Dad always liked you best. Well, in any case, it was true. But so the brothers, they can't take it. So they go out and they fake Joseph death because they think he's been spying on him. And they find his bloody clothes. They take this bloody coat of his, and they take it back to his dad and tells his dad that a terrible thing has happened, that Joseph is dead. And then they go on with their lives. Well, it's more deep than that, and we'll go into it here in a minute. But you think about it, so when they do this, it tells us then we don't hear anything about the brothers for a long time. But you know that guilt they had, that love they needed to have for their brother, and the love for their enemies was going on in the back of their mind. It's still there, and it was nagging at them. I'm certain of it. So anyway, so once Joseph's in Egypt, it first appears he's going to do all right. He does pretty good. I mean, he worked hard, and his master trusted him. He got promoted. Well, then a little incident happened, and he was kind of accused of committing a crime that he really didn't commit, and he threw him in prison. And while he was in prison, he had this ability, you see, to interpret dreams. And ultimately, that's what got him back out of prison and got him into Pharaoh's graces again. Till he comes to this point. So I think about this, and I think about when we get to our story, how all of a sudden now his brothers show up. And what's he got to be thinking in his mind? Maybe he's thinking, this is my opportunity to revenge. I mean, that's what most of us would think, because he plays some tricks on them. Well, why they're there. And it doesn't seem like the right thing to do, does it? But when they get there, they don't know who he is. So he goes and he talks to them through an interpreter. And then when they go to leave, he was going to give them all they wanted, but before they left, he said, "No, wait a minute, I think you've been spying on me." So he tells them they can't go home. He says, "What I want you to do, if you want to prove that you're not spies, I want you to go home, get your youngest brother and bring him back." Well, they're about to starve, and Joseph, he's in charge of all the grain and how it's used, and he's done quite well with it, and so no choice at all. So they go back home, they grab their little brother Benjamin, they bring him back now. So now they're at this point once again, they're in front of Pharaoh, and he gives them everything they want. They still don't know it's their brother, but he plays another trick on them. He takes his favorite silver cup, and he stuffs it in Benjamin's sack. So when they go to leave with all this food and grain so they can go on, they get caught. Now he says, "You can't leave. Now, you're going to have to leave Benjamin here." Well, brothers aren't happy, so they tell him, "This is going to kill our father if we leave here. And we don't have Benjamin with us." He said, in each and every one of them says, We'll stay and be your slave. Let the rest go home. But just make sure that Benjamin gets to go home." But at that point, Joseph couldn't take it anymore. There wasn't going to be any more tricks. So he goes, he says, "Come closer to me." That's what our reading really picked up, wasn't it? "Come closer to me. I need to get to know you better," is what he was really telling him. When I was thinking about this, and I didn't prepare today, I got to thinking about a story about a woman. Her name was April, and her grandmother, and they were sitting on the porch, and grandma's rocking away, and they got to talking, and April says, and they got talking about one of the fellows she knows in her family. She says, "He's just no good and lazy." And grandma, she was quite a religious and righteous person. She's sitting there thinking, but God loves him. And April looks at her and says, "Are you sure about that?" "I don't know about that. She's real persistent. He really is lazy." And grandma looks back and she rocks, not seeing anything. God loves him. And the more she rocks, she thinks about it. And all of a sudden she says, "But I don't think Jesus knows them the way we do." That's the way the brothers had to feel at that moment when they were there. Said, "Yep, God loves us. We're going to get what we want. Does God really know this kid the way we do?" I mean, think about it. When he was a kid, he was the one who got all the privilege. His dad gave him this coat of many colors, and he walked around like a king. He had these dreams. He told us we were all going to bow down and worship him someday. Who could like this kid? He was a brat. And here we are. Now he comes back and he tells us that he forgives us because he knows what God intended was for him to be there, to do good. Joseph figured out he needed to love his enemies if he was going to restore his family. Jesus taught us in that sermon on the plain that we need to love our enemies. How do we do that? How do we love our enemies? What's the key to it? You know, we think about that. What is the real key to loving your enemies? How do you do it? So I got to thinking about this, and I got reading about it, and it takes some real maturity. It takes some real strength to love your enemies. And we all know we should do this. Who doesn't think they shouldn't love their enemies? That believes in the Christian faith. I don't see any hands going up. How do you remind yourself of this when you want to? How do you do it? So the only way we can love our enemies is to trust in God now, isn't it? And I thought about that. It's like we have to trust in God if we really want to be able to love our enemies. That's the first step to doing it. Matter of fact, it's the only real step to doing it. Trust in God. And the more I thought about it, I'm thinking, so how am I going to have a reminder? How am I going to get everybody here to remember that in order to overcome adversity, to overcome the hate of an enemy, or the next time somebody informs you of how unbelievably bad you are, but God still loves you, you can still say, yeah, well, I'd just soon be despised. Or you can have this little reminder that I'm going to trust in God. Well, we all have that reminder. Pull out your wallet. I don't care what bill you take. What's it say? In God we trust. Every time you buy something and use our currency, you can take a coin out. If you look at it closely, what's it say? In God we trust. Isn't that what our nation, our forefathers, isn't that what Jesus tried to teach us in loving our enemies? Isn't that how we repair this world of ours? How do we forgive our enemies? It's by, in God we trust. That's the only way we can do it. We have to take our faith and trust in God. I think it was so powerful when I got to think about that. I'm thinking, how many times have I opened up my wallet, I've taken out and paid cash for something, never once really looked at the bills other than to know what it was worth. But yet they're in front of us every day, it seems like, in God we trust. Do we still believe that? Do we believe that as a nation? Do we believe that as Christians? Isn't that our core belief in God? We trust. Something to think about. Years ago, I wrote about learning how to love our enemies. And I wrote a song called Those Eyes. And I wanted to share it with you this morning because it really opened my heart and mind again when I was studying this about Joseph and how Jesus taught us to love our enemies. And it reminded me of an incident in my life, and I put it down in music and in words. And I called it Those Eyes. So I thought maybe I ought to do it for you today. As I drove down the street, I got a glimpse just then. Old friend I did see, brought memories to life again. Just like opening wide a portal into time, those eyes. But I let them pass by. Those eyes could make a believer get all to the course of a life. Those eyes could open a window and in a ray of sunshine. But oh, why it'll let him pass by. Friends for some years, we laughed and shed our fears, then trouble appeared. Haven't spoken in all these years, so much pride inside. Now the years were the reasons why, through our eyes. Yeah, we'd let them pass by. Those eyes could make a believer get altered the course of a mind. Those eyes could open a window, let in a ray of sunshine. But oh, why do we let them pass by? Many years in these pews, we sit in God's presence new. The years not so few, we wonder what to do. Forget your foolish pride, take time to look inside through his eyes. Don't let him pass by. Those eyes can make a believer can alter the course of a life. Those eyes can open a window and in a ray of sunshine. All this time, don't let him pass by. Look through his eyes. So next time you're hated, mistreated, feel unloved or used, take out your wallet. Read that reminder that's on that bill. Reach in your pocket, take out that coin. Remember that in God we trust. It's the only way we can learn to love our enemies. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Help us to see through your eyes. To know that in order for us to be free, to restore our hope, our faith, our confidence, we need to find a way to love those who don't love us, those who mistreat us and hate us. Guide us, Father, in all that we do. For we pray through your precious Son. Amen.